Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, you're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm Neil Manthorpe. And today, as always, I'm joined by my great mate, former England fast bowler Steve Harmison, the legend. To look back on England's 3-1 Test Series defeat to India, we'll discuss why England's batsmen underperformed, debate whether the rest and rotation policy is working, and we'll also hear from both camps. As well as that, we'll also speak with former England batsman and a part of our commentary team on TalkSport 2, Mark Butcher, to get his take on the tour. There's plenty to discuss. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Well, we've had the weekend to look back and digest what happened to England. It all started so promisingly in the first Test match in Chennai, when Joe Root led England to a wonderful opening series win. But I think Harmy and I both predicted before the series that it would be 3-1. Well, I did anyway. I couldn't explain why I thought England would win a Test match, except that I thought that they might sneak the day-night game. And that wasn't to be. They got hammered in that one, as they did in all three Test matches after the opening one. Harmy, you also went 3-1, didn't you? Or were you a 4-1 man?
No, I was a...
4-0, I mean.
Good morning, Manners. Yeah, good morning, everyone. I was a 4-0 on breakfast because I was trying to explain to Alan Brazil and Ali McCoy how difficult it is to play in India, and said it wouldn't surprise me if it was 4-0, and then I've been abused ever since they won the first Test match. But then I did say there is a Test match I think England could win, and it would be like you, the day-night game. But these are so good at their own back garden. They really are. And England proved that it is a tough place to go and tour, not just to play, to stay in the game, but win. And when you look back at it over the course of the four Test matches, there was times where England had a foothold in most of the games. And if an umpire's call had gone with... if umpire's call had been given out as opposed to not out, which means you stay on the field with the umpire, there's a couple of occasions where England would have had themselves right in the Test match, if not winning. So there's a lot to look at. There's a lot to discuss. Rotation, you can say whatever, but I think over the course of the Test series, India just played better. India had better players who played better cricket, and they deserved to win.
It's very seldom that you look back at a Test match over the course of 5 days and say that if that dismissal or if that moment had gone the other way, then the result would have been different.
Yeah.
I mean, it normally over the course of, well, 2 days, I suppose, in the case of the third Test. But, you know, over the course of a Test match, and certainly over the course of a four-match series, you very, very rarely look back and say that that was the wrong result.
Oh, no, it was definitely not the right result, because you've still got to go ahead and finish the game. But when you look at where England were during, just for instance, a few days ago, tea time on day two, England, yes, they only had 205 on the board, but they had India 140 for 6, Rishi Pant 33, I think he was, when LBW came. It was given not out. It stayed with the on-field umpire's call. You know, you get Rishi Pant there, England going that first innings with the lead, so you just don't know what's going to happen. But these were the things that were going against England, and by the way, I'm not making any excuses. for that, because I thought the umpires during this Test series were absolutely fantastic. I thought they really were. I thought that both, you know, the two guys on the field, both in all four games, had good games. It was just the rub of the green, marginal calls just didn't quite go in England's favour. But that wasn't because that's the result's got nothing to do with that, really.
Oh, I mean, this is a theme that's going to recur throughout the next hour. England's rest and rotation policy, and also the priority that Test cricket should command. I mean, you were frustrated at the beginning of the series that the likes of Jos Buttler was sent home after the first Test match. I mean, they go 1-0 up and Jos Buttler is sent home, and for, you know, I'm not unwillingly as part of the rest and rotation policy. But then a couple of days ago after the series, Chris Silverwood confirmed that England's IPL contracted players would complete the whole of the tournament, and if that meant missing the first or even both Test matches, which will open the series against New Zealand in the summer, then so be it. And you know, I know that that would have made your heart sink. It made my heart sink. You know, you just want Test cricket to be the priority. But interestingly, a couple of days ago, in the aftermath of the series, the England's head coach strongly denied the suggestions that this Test tour wasn't a priority for England.
No one took this series lightly, I can promise you that. Absolutely not. We came here wanting to win this. You know what I mean? And we went hard in that first Test and won it. And then India came back hard in the last three Tests. And it's a very difficult place to come here and win, as we've seen time and time again. History tells us that. I mean, not just for England, but for other countries as well. But don't for 1 minute think that we didn't take the... I mean, we took this series lightly because we didn't. We wanted to come here and win. But we knew it was going to be tough.
It's interesting, actually, there. I mean, nobody accused them of taking it lightly. Nobody said that they weren't trying. No, nobody ever for a moment thought that. You know, and there have been moments through history where you thought, are they really giving it everything? There is no question whatsoever that that England's players didn't give it everything. But he doesn't. He actually stops short of saying it was our priority, doesn't he? He doesn't actually go there.
No, he doesn't go there. And I think that there's a lot of talk, there's a lot being talk manners about this rest and rotation policy. And people are like, well, you know, taking it lightly, prioritising one-day cricket, prioritising the white ball legs of the next 9 months. That what people are misunderstanding, the former England players and players who have been around the block a while and broadcasters, is we're not saying they're not taking it lightly. We're not saying they're not trying to win the series. We're trying to say, when you try and pick a Test team and build a Test team and have a successful Test team, it comes on continuity. It comes on, and I can go back through, you know, Manners, you've seen that great England side from 2005. Go to South Africa the winter before to be the first team since apartheid to win a series in South Africa. That come off the back of winning all seven Test matches in England the summer during the summer before that, and winning in Bangladesh and the West Indies before that. That culminated in 2005, 2008, I think 8 or 9. Without that, I'm just talking about my experiences when we got beat off the West Indies 51 all out. To then winning the Ashes in 2009. That team was built off the back of continuity, selection, players understanding each other's role, winning games. Now, if you use 25 players and 20 odd players in a four Test match series because you've sent four lads home, sorry, they're not gonna be successful and gonna win, especially if you're gonna do it throughout the summer. Don't get me started on the IPL stuff, because I think that's just completely and utterly wrong. Nothing against the players. Stokes, Buttler, Archer, if the Rajasthan get to the final, they'll miss the first Test match. That's got to be a decision from higher above. That's outside their pay grade. This has got to be a higher above decision. Right, lads, no problem. You can play in the whole, you can play in all of the IPL, but you have to be back by 4 days before the first Test match. That's it. We are playing for England. It's not the dog and duck. It's England cricket team. And that for me, I just don't like that. And I'm not going to play for doing it, because the financial rewards are at the end of it. That's fine. But the ECB had to be stronger on that, because Test match cricket, international representative cricket must come before anything else. If you want to retire, retire. If you want to play cricket for England, you play cricket for England.
I suppose it's the COVID situation as well, isn't it, with quarantine, etc. Yeah. So they, you know what? I mean, if the team gets to makes it to the knockout stage of the IPL, then come back, do your 10 days quarantine, and you know, do you want the three lions on your chest? If you're being picked to play Test cricket, and by the way, you're on a very lucrative central contract, which means that you are available for all England internationals. Mm. So,
before finish on this one, we talked about prioritising and we talked about taking things lightly. And you mentioned it, you made a great point right in the opener. We're not for 1 minute saying England are not trying. But when Chris Silverwood says to me that, you know, we're doing our best to try and get the best for everything that goes, we have sent Jos Buttler, Moeen Ali and Johnny Bairstow home. All three of them have had very, very good experiences in India. We send Buttler home after winning the first test. He misses the next three. Jos Buttler's played a lot of cricket in India. Moeen Ali the same, 3 and 4, and Johnny Bairstow missed the first two. All players, yes, they play IPL cricket, but they've played in India multiple times. So when Chris Silverwood tells me that we're prioritising everything and we're trying to get the best, that's not the best. That's not. Because what you're doing is you're sending three experienced players home who have had a very good experiences playing in that country. And I'm sorry, you know, they can sugarcoat it, whatever they like. I'm another voice banging the same drum. And it's I don't believe this rest and rotation policy is geared up to help the Test match team.
On one hand, we're talking about the analysis of what went wrong in India and the results of the matches. But in another sense, we're talking on a much broader spectrum here about policy going forward, because Chris Silverwood has also said that the rest and rotation policy may well continue. In fact, he strongly intimated that it would continue going forward towards the Ashes and then during the Ashes. And just a strong part of me, and this maybe comes from personal experience of being on the road for many decades myself, sometimes I think I might prefer just to keep going until I've had enough. Do you know what I mean?
It's yeah.
Like, I want to keep playing. I want to stay here. I want to keep going. And if I reach a point where I can't take it anymore, then I'm going to have to go home and stay home. I mean, in many ways, going home, going through all the journey, the travelling, and then coming back again and doing it all again in reverse and then go... I don't know about whether it would work for me.
No, I'm the same man as I look at it and think, you know what? It took me a week to get myself my head around the fact that I was going away. I used to hate going away. You know, I've publicised this many, many times. So for me, it took and I struggled for the first week being out there. So to put myself through all that trauma again and again and again, it would be a case, right? Just leave me until I break down, or. If you want me to stay out for this, I'm going to have to stay out for the longest period possible before you send me home. Because if you want me to come back in 10 days, you might struggle to get me back. And that for me, we've said and gone round the houses far too much on this sort of stuff. I have said as well, I do trust Silverwood, Giles, Ashley Giles, not so much Ed Smith, but Ashley Giles, that they've got the players' welfare. We're not disputing that, but we're talking about trying to build a side. And in the back of my mind, I just worry that Joe Root is going to get his best Test 11 four days before Brisbane, first Test match in the Ashes.
Yeah.
And if that happens, England don't stand up, have a prayer of winning the Ashes.
Bolden! First delivery!
Here's Akshar Patel, bowls.
Johnny Bairstow! He's bowled the
gear and no idea.
Particularly when you think you've got a chance for a wicket off.
Throw on him! That was a crackerjack delivery.
Here is Akshar again. Another appeal for leg before wicket. Up goes the finger. Joe Root's been given again. England's second innings is over. They've been dismissed for 81.
Oh, some dismal memories from England's batting collapses throughout the last three Test matches anyway, if not the first. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison, reviewing the Test series between India and England. It was a baptism of fire for England's young batsmen, and only two players scored over 200 runs in the series. That was the captain and the vice-captain, Joe Root and Ben Stokes. For more on that and a broader look at what went wrong for England and particularly their batsmen, we're joined by a former England batsman and a key part of our commentary team, Mark Butcher. Butch, there were six test matches on the subcontinent. In the first three of them, Joe Root scored 684 runs at an average of 114. In the second three, he scored 110 at an average of 18. It's very hard to divorce those numbers from the results. Hello, Butch.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, he was by far and away England's best player. He is by far and away England's best player. I mean, you bring it down to ball statistics. You know, Joe Root averages just under 50, and there isn't another England batsman in the squad who averages above 40 in Test match cricket. So that's, you know, that's the broader picture of where England's batting lineup is at the moment. You throw into the mix, you know, a couple of very very tough surfaces in the second and third Test matches, in which India's batting lineup, Rohit and Pant aside, struggled to score any runs in, and obviously Ashwin also made 100. Let's not forget about that. And you have a recipe for some shocking looking numbers. You know, the collapses in the final two Test matches didn't happen in a vacuum. Particularly the collapses in the last Test match. Actually, if you think about how difficult batting was in the second and third Test against spin, then they come on a wicket that is perfectly blameless. You know, just a regulation pitch in India, subcontinental type pitch. But their brains have been scrambled by what had happened to them in the previous couple of games. So, whilst I have sympathy, I also think that there are some issues there in terms of experience, which will only be bettered by playing more Test matches, and some obvious technical issues that have been exacerbated by those two Test matches in the middle.
But you talk about some technical issues or, you know, inexperience at that top of the order. That's where it seems to go wrong for England, that 1-2-3. Johnny Bairstow came in for the latter part of the tour. But it's your field of expertise is 1, 2 and 3. Mm. Would you have gone horses for courses? And what I mean by that is, would you have played somebody who is comfortable playing spin from the outset? And a name crops to mind is somebody like Keaton Jennings.
Yeah, I mean, he came up in a lot of discussions, didn't he, about getting a berth just for this tour.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, England and teams around the world are happy to do horses for courses when it comes to bowling attacks. They're less inclined to do so for batting lineups. And one of the reasons behind that, Steve, I think, is that if you look at what happened with Johnny Bairstow in the back end of the series, he came in for the last two Tests. I wouldn't have picked him for either, because Crawley was always going to play. Crawley only missed the first two Test matches because of that wrist injury. Otherwise, he would have played, and I think he would have stayed at number three, and they would have gone Sibley, Burns, Crawley would have been their top three. That's Joe Root's preferred top three. Pretty much from the South Africa tour, even though Burns missed that one in South Africa because Crawley opened, didn't he? So that's what England would have done had there not been any injuries. Now, the temptation was, because Burns had a couple of average Test matches, was to bring Johnny in, because Johnny played okay in Sri Lanka. He didn't pass 50 in Sri Lanka, but he played okay. But Johnny comes in completely cold, metaphorically and literally, having been walking the dogs on snow-covered moors in Yorkshire, to come in to play against this Indian attack at home on a really, really shocking pitch at Ahmedabad in the first Test. And Rory Burns had a couple of innings. He got 33 in the first innings and gave it away with a reverse sweep. Looked better in the second Test match in Chennai in the second innings, and was just starting to figure out how he was going to survive and play and thrive and score runs. So I would have kept him in there. I wouldn't have made two changes. So Crawley came in and to open, didn't he? So they left out Burns, and then they also brought Bairstow in instead of Dan Lawrence. So, you know, you'd had two changes in the top three over the course of one Test match, and I don't think that's the way to go, because you need that experience of batting on those turning pitches, batting in India in those conditions, in order to kind of learn and get better. But England sort of jettisoned that idea and then left themselves with guys who were coming in completely cold. And what, Johnny made, three ducks in four innings? So, you know, I don't blame him for that, but I don't think he should have played.
Which, just going back to Harmy's point about specialist conditions batsmen, you know, horses for courses. And so, I mean, you certainly wouldn't back, you wouldn't have any doubts about Dom Sibley on a reasonably flat, predictable pitch against a four-man pace attack. You know, he'd get stuck in and he'd, I mean, he's already done that, you know, and he's, but he didn't look comfortable at all against spin. Zach Crawley was out all seven innings to left-arm spinners. And I just wonder whether we are actually heading for that. And we've got, you know, batsmen for different formats, bowlers for different formats. So we're going to heading down the conditions route as well. I mean, it seems realistic.
Possible, yeah. But, I mean, where are England playing the next, you know, they've got, well, we've just played six test matches. We've got 11 left in the calendar year. All of which are going to be played in England and Australia. So, you know, it's going to be a little while before we have to think about that again, isn't it? And, you know, again, I'll point to England's failings and the fact that they might have picked Keane Jennings and he might have fared better. And I think you can make that argument for sure. But I'd also point at somebody like Cheteshwar Pujara, who's one of the great defensive batsmen in world cricket, who managed to average the, you know, 22. In this series. So it wasn't only England's batsmen that struggled. And to point the finger at some guys who have not played any test match cricket in India before for having a shocker when a lot of their counterparts in India's top six also had a shocker is being overly harsh.
So Crawley, Pope, Sibley, you have the continuity tick for you. What about Johnny Bairstow? Has he played his last test?
Well, I don't think he's played his last test. I mean, the problem for Johnny is and always has been that he's a jack of all trades and master of none. And, you know, the break hurt him, being sent home, you know, after the Sri Lanka. Having that break come there didn't do him any favours at all. And, you know, Jos Buttler seems to have nailed down the... You know, Jos Buttler, his stock has gone up as a batsman by not being there in India. You know, England will have him back in. Ben Folkes will go back to being sort of first reserve as wicketkeeper, as brilliantly as he kept. He, you know, you're not able to keep the wolf from the door with a volume of runs that will keep somebody like Buttler out of it. And Johnny Bairstow will have to either bide his time until a berth in the top order, you know, one to five or six comes up again, or hope that something happens to Jos Buttler and England go with him as a wicketkeeper batsman again. So, you know, I don't think it's his last test, but he's just dropped down the pecking order once more.
And finally, Butch, we talk about young players and the young players' continuity, trying to get them to learn. Silverwood spoke about that. KP talked about that. We talked about it at length at the end of the game. If these young players get better by experience, but is there a point where sometimes you think, you know what, actually the mental scars could outweigh that, and they could be in a position where, you know, this affects them mentally, and also it shows other bowlers exactly where their weaknesses and faults are?
I mean, that's always the case in test matches, isn't it? You know, it's sink or swim in that environment anyway. But I think that going back to what England had done prior to this four-match series in India, Sibley has had a big tick at the top of the order. England had been regularly being able to post scores in the 400 and around their first innings, which if you only have to go back 18 months, and England were three down for 50 virtually every single game. I know we've just had a scenario where we're seven down for 50 in India, but, you know, as I said, that's pretty extreme. In the run up to this, you know, winning the series in South Africa, posting big scores against the West Indies, the only game where they didn't, they lost in that first test match of the, you know, post COVID, you know, against Pakistan, etc. They did it in Sri Lanka. And so there are guys there, but Ollie Pope, I think, is a terrific young player. I really do. And what's happened to him in this trip is not going to damage his confidence, I think. You don't average, you know, he was averaging nearly 60 in first class cricket over the course of three seasons. You're not going to turn that guy into somebody who doubts himself and is no good and doesn't learn and get better from the experience. But the one guy I think perhaps who perhaps comes out of this with a bigger question mark than anybody else is perhaps Rory Burns, because Rory Burns missed out on a lot of the glory from the South Africa trip. He's also you know, he's also sort of been left out now, having been talked about as a potential captain of the team, has now been left out halfway through the series in India. Didn't play in the Sri Lanka trip. He's kind of been, he's missed more cricket than he's played. And his numbers are not sort of irrefutable. So he had that, he averaged 40 against Australia in the Ashes in 2019. And everyone was saying, wow, we found one here. And now all of a sudden he found himself out of the team. So he needs a good start in the county championship to get himself back as a sort of number one and number two at the top of the order in English conditions again.
Butch, I was wondering actually whether Rory Burns had been done a favour by being left out of the last two tests.
Well, I mean, yeah, possibly. But look, the England by and large have kind of got have got their best players out there. There'll be, you know, there'll be people who will make a case for themselves. I mean, you know, Hamid made the move to Nottinghamshire from Lancs as kind of somebody that showed a massive amount of ability and potential on an India trip back in 2016 and disappeared without a trace. There are some young top order batsmen out there who'll be making a case to try and break in. And that's always the beauty of the start of a county summer, isn't it? You've got seven or so championship matches before the first test matches start, and lots of people will be trying to make a case for being you know, one of the guys in the top three, not least somebody like Dan Lawrence, who impressed in those last two innings of the tour. Who I think is just a shade outside of the top six, particularly batting more against seam and swing. But you know, he will throw his hat in the ring as well.
Thanks for your time, Butch. Lovely to hear your thoughts.
No problem.
Thank you. Still to come here on the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2, with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former fast bowler, England fast bowler Steve Harmison. We'll discuss more of the rest and rotation policy, and debate whether it's too early to make any hard and fast judgments about it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The rotation system, as you've just mentioned, I mean, I'm happy with that.
No human being can possibly go on for that many number of games throughout the year. Everyone needs to find windows of having some time off.
You don't want to rest. You don't want to take the dog out. You want to get playing again because I'm in the groove. I'm in form.
As a player, never ever get dropped or never ever rest for a series that can define your career. And that's all I'm saying.
Interesting thoughts from some legends of the game there. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show so far or you want to catch up, you can listen back to the podcast available via the free TalkSport app wherever you get your podcasts. Now then, we're going to be talking rest and rotation. But before we get on to that, and we'll hear from Chris Silverwood on that subject as well, but on a positive note, and you would expect the England head coach to be positive, but on an optimistic note, Eve, despite the 3-1 series loss, Silverwood still believes that his team, naturally, has the talent and the ability to be the number one test team in the world.
The vision that Joe and I have got is that we become world number one. Not only do that, but we stay there. And I think, you know, we've got the talent in there to do that. You know, we've got a very good mix of experience and youth in there. And, you know, I mean, not everything's going to go our way. I mean, we know that, but equally, you know, I mean, we have won, you know, I mean, six test matches in a row and, you know, I mean, been successful in the subcontinent as well. It's not always going to go our way, but we know that, you know, I mean, we know that we're not the finished article. And we knew India were going to be a very tough side to beat in their own backyard. But I think, as I said earlier, the experiences that the lads have got throughout this tour will stand them in good stead and we'll hopefully see the rewards of that further down the line.
Maybe, Harmy, we're just the victims, you and I and many other listeners, of our upbringing and our background and the fact that we have become so accustomed to the way things work. You would know that more on the field, obviously, than I would. But, you know, it just seems that if you want to be number one in the world, but you are going to have a premeditated, pre-prescribed schedule of leaving. And so, you know, you might be in the middle of an Ashes series and your match winner, who scored 180 or took 7 for 60 in that test match to put you 1-0 up, is then on the plane home. And that was decided a month before. It's going to be really hard to become number one in the world if that's the way you're going to go about series, I guess. I mean, you know, we understand it comes from a good place, right?
Absolutely comes from a good place, and there's nothing wrong with having, you know, them mindsets, because it's the well-being of your players. But if you want to be number one in the world at test match level, prioritise for that. We prioritised to be number one in the world and win the World Cup, and we did that. First-class cricket changed, and I've got Beamy Bond about first-class cricket as well, but I'll come on to that later. But first-class cricket changed, start of the year, end of the year, to prioritise one-day cricket in the middle, to give our players the best chance to being ready for a 2019 World Cup. England won it. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Things have to change now to give England the best chance to be number one in the world, if that's what Chris Silverwood says is their goal, and stay there. But when you're sending Jos Buttler home, who's played a lot of cricket in India, for 3 out of the 4 test matches when you won the first one, Moeen Ali for the same reason, and then Johnny Bairstow, you're not telling me you're prioritising trying to get number one in the world, because you're not going to win test series. You're not going to win test matches. You can possibly do it in England, where your bigger pool of players play and it's easier to drip feed other players in. But when you are trying to win a series in India, yes, it is doubly difficult with the way India play, but at least give yourself the best chance. Not one player should have gone home during that 4 test match series. For the simple fact is, England should have had their best 11 and give it everything they've got. Kevin Peterson is spot on what he said. Marquee series, you do not want to miss. Career-defining series, you do not want to miss. This was Jos Buttler's chance to come in at number 7, score 100, 200s in 8 innings, and be renowned as one of the best wicket-keeper batsmen. Kevin Peterson did that in Mumbai. You know, everybody talks about Kevin Peterson and what a great innings he did in Mumbai. You know, these are the career-defining series, India away. And for me, England won't get to number one in the world if they keep chopping and changing their key players going home in big series.
So the issue is not whether England have enough high-quality players, because I think they do, you know, particularly in the white ball formats. And we've seen that, you know. I reckon on that tour of South Africa that was cut short at the end of last year, they could have put 2 11s onto the field and they would probably both have beaten South Africa. The point is, but it's like having a garage full of fantastic racing cars. They all need to be working, and you know, you can't leave it in the garage for 3 months then take it out and expect it to perform at its best. You need to tune it and change the oil. And look, I mean, that's maybe not a very good analogy, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so that they might have 16 or 17 players capable of performing at test match, but they need cricket in their legs.
Not only do they need cricket in their legs, but they need confidence going with it. And confidence going with it was, England had won a test match. They'd just won 2 test matches in Sri Lanka. They won a test match in India, first test match. You know, the confidence must have been sky high, absolutely sky high. And then they send one of the best players home. And Jos Buttler, for whatever, you know, he's become a better player not being there. And that is, I just, man, as I look at it and think, in test match, to be number one in the world, you've got to win a lot of test matches. How do you win a lot of test matches? You need to get into tight situations and finding ways to win, because they're the ones that get you to number one in the world. Games that you dominate are the games that are mapped out, where you win a toss on a flat pitch, you dictate the game and you score runs. The games that get you to number one in the world are the second and third test matches, when there's a little bit in the surface, it's a bit 50-50. Somebody's going to have to put their hand up. And when you're in that position, more often than not, the teams that are the best teams that are equipped or the best teams that have been in that situation and can call on experience are the ones that get to number one in the world. Well, if you're constantly chopping and changing, then you're not going to have the experience of getting in them situations and getting out in a positive way. And that, for me, is the problem with the rotation policy. Mental well-being is ahead of anything else. Yes, that's fine. But I look at this and think, all these players that have gone home could have gone home during the white ball leg. Josh Butler, Moeen Ali, Johnny Bairstow have played franchise cricket around the world. The drop in 3, 4 days, 5 days before the first the white ball game of a series, they get accustomed to where they're playing, they get used to the people they're playing with, they go out and play. This England white ball team are so in tune with what's going on. If they had to chop and change, they'd still be relatively effective, because winning a 2020 game or winning a one-day international is not the same as having to bat for 5 hours, 6 hours. You know, bowl 25, 30 overs in a first innings to try and get yourself into a winning position in a test match. Test match cricket is tough, and people have to learn how to play and how to evolve in the game. And I just don't think that's happening. That's my problem with the rest and rotation policy.
Neither of us is suggesting for a moment that it's easy just to walk straight back into an international team.
Absolutely.
But it might be easier to do it in a white ball format.
Shorter format, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So let's just remind ourselves of what Chris Silverwood said about being proactive in looking after the mental health of the players.
We do need to keep them fresh and firing, because the test matches do come thick and fast in difficult conditions, especially here. But equally, to keep the players mentally fresh is very important as well, because you want them, when they're out on the park, you want them to be concentrating on the cricket in front of them. You want them to be happy. You want them to be settled. And sometimes that means seeing your family. And it's difficult. You know what I mean? And the families want to see, you know, I mean, the dads, the husbands, or whoever it is as well. You know what I mean? So I think that we've done it to the best of our ability. I think it's worked. You know what I mean? It's certainly something we'll reflect on as well, obviously, after this tour, to make sure that we are getting things right. Is there anything we can learn from it? And obviously try and do things as well as possible moving forward as well. As I said earlier, you know what I mean? We look at the amount of cricket we've already played, and you look at the amount of cricket we've got in front of us, then we have to be proactive in looking after our players, because I don't think it's acceptable to push somebody until the break and then try and pick them up then. I think, you know, I mean, we've got to be proactive and make sure that we make the intervention before anybody does break, when we can get them back in an English shirt quicker.
Here is Ashwin again. Bowled him! Dan Lawrence has a swing at Art Ashwin, and he's bowled him for 50. Fine rearguard innings from Lawrence, but England have been bowled out for just 135. India win by an innings and 25 runs to wrap up the series by 3 test matches to 1, confirming their place in the World Test Championship.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Steve Harmison. We're looking back at India's 3-1 series win against England, and in the final part of the show we'll be going to India to find out about how the series win has gone down there. We're joined on the line by a broadcaster and writer Chetan Narula. Chet, so it wasn't too long ago that India losing the first match of a series would be a cause of great concern, and they would have found it difficult to come back, but it's now becoming a bit of a habit, and a rather nice one.
Hello, Neil. Yes, absolutely. I mean, it all started in Australia, has carried on to England. It's a little uncomfortable still when they're traveling overseas and they lose the first test of the series, because sometimes it's not easy to come back from that. But as long as they're showing this sort of elite mentality and the wherewithal to come back from defeat in this manner, and when I say this manner, it's not just the English series, but also the Australian series, I hope they can keep doing it again and again.
How is the World Test Championship being treated and regarded in India? I mean, I get the sense and I may be wrong here, that because of Virat Kohli's great passion for Test cricket, that it's had an infectious effect on not only the rest of the team, but hopefully the country. I mean, is there a great anticipation and looking forward to that game?
I'll give you three words, Neil. World Cup final. That is how it is being seen as for us. It's no less than a World Cup final. I mean, for the first time in the history of Test cricket, there's going to be a World Test champion. It has given greater significance to Test cricket, I would say. And yes, Virat Kohli's passion on the field really helps wonders. The fact that it was a tough road for India in the World Test Championship, they needed to win in Australia, which is nearly impossible, isn't it? I think that, and the manner that they won there, I think that has given a lot of people interest, renewed a lot of people's interest in the Test format. And of course, this series win as well. Like I said, it's being treated as a World Cup final. And let me tell you one more thing. Last year, when the T20 World Cup was cancelled and postponed to this year and next year, there was a lot of disappointment. So the ICC events garner a lot of attention from the Indian cricket fans, and this is going to be no different whatsoever.
And Cheetan, they talked about the passion that Virat's got for Test match cricket, but he's not under pressure, but he needs to score some runs because he hasn't been the Virat Kohli of old, along with the likes of Pachara and Rahane. Is that the surfaces they've been playing on, or just the three of them in a little bit of a bad form?
No, I think for the first time in his career, I think Virat Kohli is going through a lean form, because I was just checking his statistics. I mean, across formats, the last time he scored 100 was November 2019. Yes, he didn't play for a lot of 2020, but it's been 15 months. He's played quite a bit of cricket across formats. His cross format average has fallen to 38, which is earlier 55, 56. So, yes, we can say for the first time he's going through a lean patch. But again, it's Virat Kohli we're talking about, one of the best batsmen in world cricket. And he's shown us the glimpses of Virat of old. I mean, you look at the Adelaide knock, or you look at the knock in Chennai, the second test match, second innings. He's been dogged. He's been determined to score those runs. And he's looked a million bucks at the crease whenever he's got past 50, if I can say so. It's just that starting point, it's starting to trouble him a lot more. I mean, some of the dismissals that we saw within the first 10 deliveries, like the Moeen Ali dismissal, and he was just stunned that he had been bowled through the gate. How dare you bowl me through the gate? Or, in fact, this fourth test match when the ball bounced a bit too high for him and he played at it. So, these are uncharacteristic dismissals. So, I think he just needs to buckle down, tighten it up when he's batting at the crease. Just be the Virat, the batsman, and not the captain. And I think it'll be fine.
On the subject of the World Test Championship, I think everybody that follows cricket, in particularly Test cricket, realises that the whole concept and the whole format was very, very, very far from perfect when it was first introduced. And that was way back in 2013. Then it was postponed, and then it was postponed again. And eventually we finally got to the situation where each team plays six series, varying from two tests to five tests against different opponents. And then COVID comes along and half of them get cancelled. And then you have a average percentage of points to get to the final. I mean, it was, as I said, a very, very far from perfect system, became even more imperfect. But Ravi Shastri, the India coach, talking about it, if nothing else, you can glean from this that there is passion for the event.
Yes, if you ask me the problems in the first cycle, please don't shift the goalposts midstream. Okay, I'm sitting at home in COVID, right, in the month of November. You have got more points than any other team in the world, 360 at that time. Suddenly, a week later, without playing cricket, there's some rule that comes that they're going to go on percentage system, where you go from number one to number three in a week. Fine. That's because of countries not wanting to travel to countries that are in the red zone or whatever. All acceptable, you know, fine. Now, I want to understand the logic behind this, because what is the way forward for me? I have two toes left. Sitting on top of the table comfortably by leading by 60, 70 points as opposed to any other team. They say, no, you have to go to Australia. I say, okay. What have you to do in Australia? You have to beat Australia. Yeah. Now, how many teams in 100 years or last 10 years have gone to Australia and you can say guarantee will beat Australia? Now, the reason I'm saying this is you're sitting on top of the table, 360. Percentage system, you have to go to Australia to beat Australia. If you don't beat Australia, you come back home and beat England 4-0, you get close to 500 points, you still don't qualify. we have had to dig deep. We have had to go down every hole that's needed to find water. We found it, and we've earned our stripes to be in the final of the World Test Championship, the biggest trophy in the world, with 520 points. So, no more. Don't ask me about the next cycle. First, address this cycle.
Well, having a moan about it, and as I said, at least it shows that he and India care. A word about that, and then where to for India from here?
Oh, no, I think he's absolutely right. Yes, he has a bit of a grouse there, but I think it's absolutely fair. I mean, it was rather amusing that Anil Kumble was the head of the committee, and they decided that, okay, percentage points are now going to be in vogue when there was not much cricket being played. Either they could have started from zero, they could have started from scratch and scrapped all the points that had been earned at that stage, or they could have said, you know what, let's do the percentage points the next time around. See, I like the percentage points because it gives every test match incentive when the series are not equal, 2 tests, 3 tests, 5 tests. Good, perfect. But you can't, again, you can't change it midway through the tournament. I mean, yes, the pandemic, yes, this and that, but you can't change the rules of the game. But for me, the biggest surprise was that Anil Kumble was the head of the committee that signed up on this or said, okay, you know what, let's change the rules. But like I said, and like Ravi said, there's no other team that deserves more because simply they had to beat Australia in Australia. 4-0 in India against England wouldn't have been good enough if they had lost in Australia. So he's absolutely right. India have earned it and hopefully we'll get a great final. And the last time India played in a T20 World Cup final, that was 2007. The first time it happened, it did wonders for the T20 format. So hopefully this will be a boost in the arm for Test cricket as well because it needs it. And like I said, and you asked where next for India from here. I mean, obviously, they'll play the ODIs and T20s. Looking forward to that. Better pitches, batsman friendly. I think it'll be more of a challenge because England have obviously been looking forward to the T20 World Cup and India are preparing for that as well on their home soil. So it's going to be a cracker of a T20 series.
Chetan Arula, thank you so much for your time. We've loved your contributions throughout the series and enjoy the white ball games.
Thank you so much.
Well, Homi, we somehow need to learn from the Test series and yet move on in the same breath. Do we just draw a line under it and say India were much better than England and hopefully we'll be better next time? I mean, you sort of need to learn and move on because that's the nature of the game. It moves forward very quickly at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as long as they learn from it, as in individuals, I think hopefully in a year's time, when we go on tour again, Australia and beyond, we'll not be in such restrictive COVID worlds in a way where we, you know, our players don't need to be rest and rotated, and we can the experiences that they've had during this series will bear fruition. So, you know, fingers crossed on that front. Where do they go? I think England are in a decent place. They've got a decent pool of players to play outside of the subcontinent. Possibly the subcontinent might have to have a rethink on our personnel. But did we learn? How can we improve? Did we learn all that stuff that comes? Well, the one thing I did learn out of it, Root is still a world-class performer. Anderson's still the best seam bowler ever to play the game. Stokes showed in that last test match. His effort was brilliant. Leach, 18 wickets at 28. You know, he did what a backup type or a spinner would. Pleased with Lawrence, who was excellent in that last test match. I think he's got something that we need to, you know, to push on and explore. But the rest, I'm afraid, Manners, it was a bit like my school report. Must do better.
Been great working with you once again, Homi.
And you, pal.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. It's our review of England's Test Series defeat against India. If you missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can listen back to the podcast available via the free TalkSport app and wherever you get your podcasts. And a final thank you from me to the brilliant Scott Taylor, who puts the Cricket Collective together. Very fine producer indeed, without whom the show would not be possible. Don't forget, TalkSport 2 will have every ball of England's 5 T20s and 3 ODIs against India starting this Friday. We'll be on air at 12:30 ahead of a 1:30 start. Thanks for listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.